Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. And recently, in Washington, D.C., they had the 2015 White House Conference on Aging. And I'm not sure if they solved the problem of aging to keep us all from getting older or if that was even the reason why they had the conference. But to talk more about it, to inform the rest of us, I've invited Michigan Tech computer science professor Chuck Wallace to the program. Chuck, welcome to Copper Country Today.
Thank you very much, Rick.
Now, you were invited to take part in this, and of course, they looked at a number of issues that our aging population deals with, and eventually we all will deal with. So let me just first ask, kind of give us an overview of what the conference was about and why you were there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a conference that lasts a single day, and it has the topic of aging, and it's such an immense topic that there's no way that you can cover everything in a single day. But the more that you think about it, the more different components of the aging issue come to mind. That was really eye-opening for me. I just work on a small part of it. But of course, there are issues with regard to medical care, with regard to Social Security, the legal system, so many different pieces of the puzzle. So what we got at this one-day conference was a very brief but broad overview of all the issues that are before us. And by the way, one thing that several people brought up is that this is a conference on aging. It's not a conference on the aged. That's an important distinction because we obviously have to be sort of proactive in this area. Think about people who we would not consider to be quote-unquote old people now, but will soon be. We are all aging, so we're all in this together.
When I was doing my own little just sort of research to get caught up to speed on what went on there, and I realized, I'm closer to 60 than I am to 20 now, and so it does seem like it's a long ways away, but 20 doesn't seem like it was that long ago.
How did that happen?
And so, the issues and things that were talked about at the conference are ones that we are all going to deal with, many in our audience, this part of their, everyday life. When you're, even if you're younger, if you're in your 40s like myself, or if you're, at any age, these are things that you're going to have to deal with. And so it's kind of good to take an active part in trying to help solve these issues now, as opposed to 20 years from now, when you're the one suffering the consequences of inaction. And wait, hoping that somebody else will come along and fix it while you still have time to have it fixed.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Now, how did you get on the radar? As you're a computer science professor at computer tech, it doesn't sound like it'd be a topic for an aging conference, but yet you're there.
Right. We've run a program here just locally for the last 4 years. That teams up students from computer science, from cognitive and learning sciences, and from the humanities departments at Michigan Tech with local residents who are struggling with digital technology. That doesn't exclusively mean seniors, but very often the people who we meet are older. So our program works at the public library. That's our venue for our collaboration. During the summers, we've been working Saturday mornings, and during the school year, we've been typically working on Friday mornings. Everyone is invited to come to these sessions, which happen at 9 a.m. People come with all kinds of computer or digital technology-related questions, everything from, my grandchildren bought me this device and I don't know how to use it, to more sophisticated things. I'm a power user, but I'm struggling with this new app that I'm trying to learn. A wide range of levels of expertise and just all kinds of different topics. So we field questions like that. Very often we do sort of troubleshooting sessions, but we also conduct some small courses on particular topics like staying safe online and so on. So that's the program that we've run for several years, and it's been a really nice kind of collaborative effort among several departments at Michigan Tech, and of course also our partner in the public library. Very gratifying. And that's the thing that caught the eye of the organizers of the conference. There was actually a broad call that was sent out to universities around the country, and I put this news item in about our help session, and I guess it seemed to fit in well with the topic, which they called Technology and the Future of Aging. And that's the panel that I was on. So that's how I got in.
I seem to remember how, 30 years ago, the big problem was how the senior citizens in our country didn't know how to program their VCRs to record things. Mm-hmm. And a lot of jokes that sort of went along with that time period. Well, now we're that many years later, and, I've been using my, iPhone for the first time over the last couple of years, got my first MacBook about a year and a half ago, and had no idea how to use this thing. And who do I go for answers when I don't know how to use the piece of technology? Well, my 16-year-old daughter, who seems to know how to use this stuff like it's the back of her hand. So now she's on the other foot a little bit now. So this is what you address.
Absolutely, that's right. And this seems to be a recurring pattern. I remember that time when, as a young person, I was looked on as the one to go to for assistance with technology. And the students at Michigan Tech are well versed in this technology, and especially computer science students. That's what they do. So they're deeply into the technology. I think one thing that's kind of nice for them is that as they teach, they're also learning a lot. And what I mean by that is it's easy for them to get to stay in that bubble of highly educated, highly versed people in the technology, and forget about people who haven't had that same kind of experience. They need to know about that because, we're preparing the students who are going to be designing the technology of the very near future. And if they don't have a sense of what other people are struggling with in terms of digital technology, they will design with themselves in mind as opposed to with others in mind, and that's an important eye-opening moment, I think, for them to see perfectly intelligent, well-educated, engaged people struggling with this technology.
That's a good point. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, the conference looked at a number of policy briefs. These are things, again, I just pulled off the White House website on the conference on aging, and they include healthy aging, long-term services and supports, elder justice and retirement security. These are, different topics that they were touching on. The panel that you were put on, was it strictly about technology?
Yes. We had representatives from the technology industry, so people who are or companies who are providing particular services with a slant towards the elderly, and also companies that are more general. For instance, there was a representative from Uber at the conference talking about how to make their service for providing transportation more readily available to elders. So the panel was, overall, I would say it was mostly made up of people who are producing new technology, and their take on it is, how can we bring in older people to our services, and how can we make them more valuable? And that's definitely a big piece of the problem. Direction is a little bit different. We're looking at the learning problem and overcoming the basic obstacle of adopting digital technology. So that's another piece of it. So my feeling is that that services like Uber, Peapod, which provides an online means to deliver groceries to older adults, all of these great services are only as good as are only useful if elders feel comfortable using this technology and get that overcome that first obstacle. So that's kind of where we're we're coming from. And we want to get that first obstacle out of the way.
Yes, a lot of the technology that is developed and then brought to market, the driving force is, we want the kids to be interested in this. We want the young people to get excited about, this new, phone or this new watch or whatever it is that's coming out. But your largest growing demographic, and usually the one who's got most of the money, are your older demographics who, have the power to buy all these things. But yet it's not as, sexy, I guess, as to develop things that might be, more appealing to, 50 and 60 and older, though they're the ones who could probably really benefit from some of these advances.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. That was definitely a sense I got at the conference, was sort of an awareness that that there's a tremendous market for older users of services and technology and so on, and that this is actually a place where there's a lot of money to be made. Not to sound too crass about it, but that's absolutely right. With the baby boomer generation moving into that age range, there's no question about it. So.
And so what sort of insight were you able to bring to your panel and talk to the rest of the people there?
Yeah, well, I think, as I said, some of the people in the technology sphere are looking at this older demographic now, and they're fine-tuning their services and thinking about how their tools can be made better for older adults. I think what I brought to the panel was sort of grounding in some realities of these people who they're trying to reach. One reality is that many people in this age range have limited incomes, and what that means is that the technology that they're able to afford might not be the most current, up-to-date technology. So the laptop might be a little out of date, or the operating system may be not quite the latest and greatest. And that has a lot of effects on adoption of the actual services that they're going to use. If you're using an old laptop that's running Windows XP right now, that's going to limit what you can do on the internet or elsewhere, because that technology is no longer actively supported, and this, as I think we all know, is a big problem. You buy a piece of technology 5 years ago, today it's going to be very much out of date, and all of the software and hardware companies have moved on and are concentrating on other things. So one big part of it is simply that it costs money to keep up with this technology. And another one is simply this the time expenditure that it takes to keep up with it all. I feel like one reason why we do often go to the younger people for assistance with these kinds of online services and so on, is that they have all this sort of free time to work on figuring it out. Some older adults do have free time, but another piece of it is simply the fear factor, the fact that they hear stories, some of them true, about people getting into trouble, going online, people losing everything after they store it on their laptop, and of course some of these stories are in fact true. Some of them are a little exaggerated. The fear factor can be a real obstacle to adoption of the technology. When we're there at these help sessions, we often we the sort of quote unquote experts. We're often reflecting on what it is that we're doing as we're helping people through these technologies, and we realize that very often it's not helping someone with something we've used over and over again. Often we're on a new website that we've never seen before. So what do? Well, we sort of poke around a little bit. We explore, say, well, I've never seen this website before, but if I look at it, if I click on that button over there on the screen, I'll probably get what I want. try it. Maybe it doesn't work, but we go back and try again. And that simple act of exploration is something that can be stifled if people feel afraid. If I click on that button, maybe I won't be able to get back, and maybe I'll lose, you know, money, or I'll lose privacy or something like that. And it's those kinds of moments of anxiety are the things that we're trying to overcome. So that's a big part of what we do.
Talking right now with Chuck Wallace. He's the Michigan Tech Computer Science Professor, and he took part in the 2015 White House Conference on Aging, which took place on July 13th. They broadcasted it on the internet in case you missed it. You can see some clips on the White House Aging or Conference on Aging website as well. The person who was my grandmother are not the grandmothers of today. Like, I'm a grandfather, you know, mm-hmm. So when I pictured, you know, when I was young and I thought of the senior class and, you know, the health and living standards of living and things have changed a whole lot now. You know, some people have, you know, you may have heard like, you know, 60 is the new 40 and that those type of phrases that are thrown about, that our aging community is no longer the getting old community. That, you know, we can remember again 20, 30, 40 years ago. They're a different bunch, you know, and I imagine that trend would continue. So that, you know, when we get there, you know, we're going to be part of that new community, maybe a little further along understanding with technology, but a lot of these, we're still going to deal with the same type of issues, income, health, insurance, new technologies that we can't even imagine now. 20 years ago, try to imagine being able to call a video on an iPhone and instantaneously. Well, 20 years from now, what will that technology look like? And will there be help there for us as well when we get there? Mm-hmm. What were some of the things that they were looking ahead in order to try to head off those problems before they come? Mm.
Great question. I feel like the conference, you know, being just a single day, was less about solutions and more about kind of raising problems. And I know that sounds a little negative, but certainly the spirit of the conference was very constructive and looking forward. But I think they're thinking about this as the starting point for conversations among, you know, various people at the conference and also outside on how to move forward on these issues. It was I would say primarily kind of like an awareness building moment. Just as an example, one point which has come up for us in our help sessions, but was really accentuated at the conference, was the notion of the problem of elder abuse. The fact that many people who are older are taken in on scams, very many of them online scams, and exploited, and this is a crime that very often is hard to track down and it often goes unreported. Part of that can be, you know, like a technological solution. Part of it has to be sort of a social solution, I think, in terms of simply building awareness of the problem and encouraging children, grandchildren, family members of elders to speak really frankly with older people and talk through these kinds of incidents when they happen. My sense was not so much like anyone had the great solution to any of these problems. It was more bringing some things to light. I think a lot of these aging-related issues stay in the shadows for some reason. It's almost like we're in denial about the truth of aging. So the extent to which it brings up these kinds of issues, that I think it'll be a success. But it will require sustained effort. That was the one concern I have about this. It's like, this is great. We have great energy at this event. Really want to make sure that energy doesn't just get dissipated, a couple of weeks or months down the line. That we need to keep at it and keep progressing.
And did I read correctly, they do this conference once every 10 years?
Yeah, it's once every 10 years. If I were president, I would I'd organize something more frequently. But that has been the tradition. It's gone on for several decades now, and that it seems to be a once every 10 year event.
Imagine what your retirement and healthcare prospects were in 2005 compared to today.
Yeah.
Going through everything that we have gone through in the last 10 years, quite a bit of a different scene.
Mm-hmm.
It is a long time.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But as you said, the solutions begin with the discussions and bringing awareness. Mm-hmm.
So I mean, I was really glad that of the people on my panel, I connected with them later, and now we're in conversation. And there's a lot of potential collaborations between, you know, the computer science department filled with bright and capable students, and these companies who are providing these services. So I'm hoping that, you know, we can take some of our students who are informed about issues of the elderly already and have them work, you know, for these services. I think it'll be a really, really exciting possible collaboration.
Now, you were on your panel. Did you get to attend, you know, the rest of the conference? You got to see the other panel discussions as well?
Yes. Yeah. I was there for the whole day. Yeah. So it was, that was tremendous. I really enjoyed the breadth of the discussion.
And President Obama spoke at the beginning.
And yes, I think he was there for 20 minutes or so. It was interesting. In hindsight, I realized that he had Iran on his mind at the time. It's amazing what a multitasking job he's got. But he spoke to the group as a whole and spoke quite broadly, touched on the issue of elder abuse, and also these are important anniversaries for Medicare and for Social Security this year, and so he also talked about those and the effects of that they've had on elder quality of life.
Mm-hmm. Now, the reason why I asked if you were able to attend more things was because, you know, we've got a substantial elderly population here in the Copper Country. A lot of people who have lived here for a long, long time, you know, and really don't get the chance. They haven't lived outside of this area for a while. Some do, and some come back. One of the reasons why I chose to live here was talking to people who had left and came back because they loved it here too much. Mm-hmm. But hearing all the different ideas thrown around, how was their perception of the problems that our elderly community faces, our senior citizens? Their perception of those problems compared to what you see here working with seniors in our own area?
Yeah, well, like I said, the members of my panel are they're working on services that are sort of tailored to the elderly, and so they have a sense of, you know, of this group. But I think there's really nothing quite like sitting down side by side with someone and working through the details of turning your device on, getting online, finding, you know, the right website that you're trying to get to. And so these practical pieces can be surprisingly difficult for real newcomers, you know, again, the issue of income and not having the most up to date technology is, you know, it can be a tremendous sort of obstacle. So those kinds of things, I think, are I wish that everyone in the conference could come down to the public library and help out a little bit with our help sessions and get a sense of what's really happening on the ground. There's nothing quite like having that face to face experience to alert you to just, you know, I didn't want my message to be a negative one. I think that these are obstacles that can be overcome, but it does require some assistance. That it's almost ironic, you know. You want to assist people with online services, but the one thing that you can't that you can't really assist them with is actually getting online in the first place. That's got to be sort of like a face-to-face, hands-on kind of interaction.
It used to be things came with instruction booklets. Now the instruction booklets are online.
So. Absolutely right. Oh, yeah. No, that's right.
My guest this segment has been Chuck Wallace. He's a computer science professor at Michigan Tech, and we were just wrapping up the 2015 White House Conference on Aging discussion here in Copper Country Today. Chuck, thank you for coming on the program.
Thanks very much, Rick. It was a pleasure.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.